Good evening.
About these shock and awe words from God.
Sorry for that, you guys. We had a little bit of confusion with our taped introduction and our live introduction, but good evening and welcome to the Prophets Speak with Patricia King. My name's Robert Hodgkin, and our topic tonight is God's Law of Attraction. Thank you for sharing the next hour with us as we dig into this topic. What is God's law of attraction? How does it work? And how can you put it to work in your life? The first half of the program, Patricia's going to be walking us through revelation and topics in the book. And then the second half, we're going to be going to questions and answers. So please feel free to share your questions in the chat room as we go through the topic tonight. But Patricia, thank you so much for being here. Thanks to our live studio audience. Thanks for being here. Let's jump right in. Yeah, God's law of attraction. Now, God gave you this topic, and I know it's been a little controversial. So tell us, how is God's law of attraction different from the New Age concept of the secret or the universal law of attraction? Were you trying to reclaim something from the secular for the sacred? Or how did God put this topic on your heart?
Right. Well, actually, it was the controversy of the book, The Secret, that actually piqued my curiosity, you know, back a few years ago. And so there was a movie, a film out called The Secret, and it was followed up by a book, The Secret. And I hadn't heard of the film or the book, but people would tell me, oh, there's this terrible book out there. There's this terrible film. It's called The Secret. You got to stay away from it because it's so full of evil. It's just New Age. It's evil and it's deceiving the whole nation. And I thought, whoa, just a sec. What is this, you know? And so I started asking about it. I said, well, what is so evil about it? And they said, well, we don't exactly know, but it's New Agey. Just stay away from it. I said, so do you know what The Secret is? Like, it's called The Secret.
Right.
So what is The Secret? No one seemed to know what The Secret was. So my curiosity got me. So I went and bought the book.
Okay.
I bought the book called The Secret. And you know, I realized in the very beginning as I started reading why Christians would be a little bit concerned about it, because all the contributors of it were like New Age gurus or philosophers or, you know, people from, you know, religious orders that were, you know, out there.
Okay.
And so I thought, well, yeah, you know, you don't want to sit under.
That's right. You got to be careful what you submit yourself
to. Yeah, totally. So, of course, I was very guarded as I started reading, which we should be.
Exactly.
You know, got
to discern the spirits.
But I thought, what is it? Why has this become a bestseller? Why is there so much attention?
It was like a New York Times bestseller. The movie did really well. So there was a lot of interest. There was a lot of draw.
Yeah, and also a lot of executives were using it. Universities were using it. And I thought, well, these are the intellectual, successful business people. Mm-hmm. What is it that the enemy is deceiving them with?
Right.
So that's what I wanted to know. So when I read the book, The Secret, I discovered what the secret was.
What was the secret?
The secret was basically the law of attraction, or the law of affinity, which is a mathematical law, discovered actually by Isaac Newton.
Really?
Who is a Christian.
Yeah.
He is the same one who discovered the law of aerodynamic lift.
Right.
Which is what keeps airplanes in the sky. And so I started praying into it. I said, Lord, what is it about this law that we should be concerned about? So he started unpacking it for me. Basically, God is the one who creates laws.
Right.
And man discovers them.
Right.
So, for example,
God created the universe. He created physics. He created the laws of the universe. Absolutely.
Exactly. So God created the law of gravity.
Right.
I mean, everyone knows about the law of gravity. You will not find the term law of gravity written in the scripture.
Mm-mm.
You won't find it. But we know that God created it. No man can take credit for creating the law of gravity because he just didn't create it. God created it.
Right.
But man discovered it. Now, when we discover a law such as gravity, then we can work with that law and have that law work for us.
Yes.
That's how
Yes.
God intends it to be.
That's right.
So, for example, if I want to play a game, you know, of throwing a ball up in the air and seeing how well I can catch it, I understand the law of gravity, so I can make that work for me, right?
Right.
If I am going to go for a walk and I see a cliff out there,
that's right.
And I understand the law of gravity, I'm going to make that law work for me.
You're going to turn right or turn left.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So, and it's the same with the law of aerodynamic lift. You and I use it just about every week.
That's right.
I mean, I use it a few times
all over the world.
Well, some I just got back a few minutes ago from being on an airplane. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that someone discovered that
Absolutely.
Law.
Absolutely. And how to harness it.
Exactly. So whether it was discovered by a Christian or a non-Christian, we know that God created that law, and he created it for all people.
That's right.
When he created, you know, the sun and the moon and the stars, he didn't create it just for Christians. There weren't even Christians back then.
No.
You know, he created those things for mankind.
That's right. The scripture says when it rains on the just and the unjust.
Exactly.
So whatever he's doing, it touches the whole earth and everyone in
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Even in Acts 2, he says, in the last days, the Spirit of God will be poured out upon all flesh.
That's right, all flesh.
He doesn't say upon all Christian flesh.
That's right.
So what we need to determine then is saying, what is God and what is not of God? Mm-hmm. Let's extract the precious from the worthless and hold fast to that which is good. So when I started understanding what they were saying, they were, you know, basically the nuts and bolts of the law of attraction or the law of affinity is like attracts like.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So basically that's it. You can use it in mathematical terms, scientific terms. You can use it in philosophical terms, behavioral things. Laws work in all kinds of different aspects.
Okay.
So what the New Agers discovered with it is that when you align your mind with a certain thing,
yes.
with a desire that you
yes.
might have, when you align your imagination, your feelings,
yes.
your will, your
when you
desire.
Focus on something
you focus
and let the reality of it fill you.
Exactly.
Okay.
You will empower it, and what you're filling yourself with, you will attract like substance.
Okay.
So based on the mathematical law, that's what they were working, and they found that it was successful. So they were finding people who were believing for accelerated income for
yes.
getting it. People who were, you know, dreaming about a new motorhome or a boat, it was being attracted to them.
Okay.
Students and their studies for better marks were getting better marks. And so they were working this law of attraction in different ways for things that they wanted.
Okay.
And were finding that they were getting results. So they were working a law, but they didn't know the God of that law.
Right. Right.
And that is our job
That's
as
right.
Christians, is to introduce them and even use it, saying, hey, you discovered this law. Let me introduce you to the one who created it.
Well, it's not that different from somebody going and swimming in a beautiful lake and enjoying it, but not knowing the creator who made the lake.
Exactly.
This just happens to be a natural law that he created that they were using. They just weren't aware of the creator. And you're saying it's our job, no one would be aware of the law, but to help those who are using it or aware of it to know who made it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I find, Robert, that so often in the church there is fear, you know, just being driven by fear.
Right.
Rather than by faith.
Right.
And there's a lot of fear of witchcraft, the New Age, deception. Sometimes we have more faith in being deceived
right.
than we do in having God keep us in the truth.
And there is a history of this in the church. If you think back, even in Scripture, when the church was 12 men in a boat, when Jesus walked to them on water,
right.
their first response was, it's a ghost.
Yes, exactly.
They didn't realize it was the Lord
exactly.
coming to show them something supernatural.
Yeah, and so we always have to remember, let's go back to God. What is the redemptive purpose here? How can I use this experience to bring about his purposes?
Yes.
Because, you see, if a person's living without God, they don't know his purposes. Mm-hmm. You know, they have no relationship with him. They don't know how to connect. They can connect to energy or
right.
or principles or whatever, but we need to introduce them to him.
And they're searching for him. You know, when we've done outreach, I love doing outreach and to New Agers because they're so hungry. And one of the things I've discovered is if you honor them for seeking truth as opposed to attacking them for where they've fallen into the wrong things, but right. honor them for seeking truth. I've had New Agers welcome prayers of, hey, can I pray for you that you will find the truth? And have been able to pray with them for that. And I know because I was a seeker once, and I was seeking truth. And at first, I didn't know that the truth was a person. I thought it was a philosophy, an edict, a set of rules.
Right.
But because I was seeking truth, it opened up a door for him who was truth right. to reveal himself to me. So they don't know that they are seeking him.
Right.
They don't know that they are seeking the one who is truth, the one who is the creator of the laws. And we can then help them
right.
find him who is searching for them that they don't realize they're searching
right.
for.
Before I was born again, I was involved in the New Age.
Right.
But it's so lame.
Right.
The thing is that you're looking for God, mm-hmm. who is all-powerful, all-wise, all-knowing. I mean, nothing can replace him.
No.
And really, the New Agers are beautiful.
They are.
I mean, they're just people that are really, you know, searching for spiritual encounter and more light and mm-hmm. to be illumined and mm-hmm. all of that. And it's like, but we have the truth. We can illumine them. So anyways, with the Law of Attraction,
yes.
I started reading different books, different takes, and it hurt me to see how deceived they were.
Mm.
Because even though they understood a law, the application of that law was for selfish purpose.
Right.
It was for, like, even if they got all the blessings of the increased salaries, the better marks, at the end of the day, what is that to you if you win the whole world
right.
and lose your soul?
That's right.
So I started asking God about it. I said, God, I know this is true. This law is something I know that you created.
Yes.
But what is your purpose for? And he led me to 3 John 2. I wanted to see it in the scripture.
Okay, yeah, it's got to be rooted and grounded in the Word.
Show me in the Word where this law can be applied and activated and where the core heart of God is
okay.
in this law for us in its application. So in 3 John 2, it says, Beloved, I pray that you would prosper. Now, the word prosper means to flourish, to overflow, to live in the abundance, the overflow, in every respect. So that means every respect of your life. It could be your relationships,
yes.
your spiritual walk, your finances. You know, it could be whatever is in your life. He says, I want you to prosper. I want you to overflow, be in abundance in every aspect of your life and be in health.
And be in but health,
then it says,
that's right.
As your soul prospers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing about the secret and the New Age applications, it's all about the soul.
Right.
It's all about what is your mind thinking on? What are you meditating on,
right.
which is to ponder in your thoughts.
That's right.
What is your imagination picturing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you choosing?
Okay.
All the faculties of the soul. And so God's saying you will prosper and be in health as your soul prospers.
Prospers.
So if my soul is in sync with God's will,
right.
with his word, with his will, and with his ways, then I can ultimately depend on this law of attraction to do its work.
Right.
Because the law is going to work whether I understand it or not.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so I started working it.
Okay.
And started observing.
Okay.
Now, all of us here probably could observe things like a negative person, for example. We all know them, you
right.
know.
Right.
A negative person. What do they attract to their life?
Negativity.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And out of
people who complain always have something yeah. to complain about because they're drawing it to them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes.
So you can always tell what's in the soul of a person by listening to how they speak.
Ah.
So if a person is negative about this and fearful about that, and, oh, this is terrible and nothing ever good happens to
right.
me. I look at their life and I'll think, yep,
mm-hmm.
yep, because the law of attraction works. Whether you're a Christian or not, it's not prejudice.
Right.
I mean, it's just a law.
It's a law. Like gravity is a law. Gravity works for Christians.
It
works for non-Christians.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you jump off a cliff, you're going to fall whether you're a Christian or not.
That's right.
And so if you are thinking in your mind, oh, this horrible thing's going to happen or nothing good ever happens to me, you will attract exactly what your soul is fixed on.
So, Patricia, how does that relate to the power of decree?
Well, because out of the abundance of your heart,
mouth is speaking.
Your mouth will speak. Uh-huh. But listen,
okay.
What my book goes into, this is based on God's law of attraction.
God's law, not the law, God's law.
So, like, we want to understand the law for sure.
Yes.
But if that law doesn't lead me to God, then I don't want to just operate the law separate from him, if you understand.
Right,
I want relationship with God.
Right.
So then I want to go to God's word first. Say, God, what is your will for me? So, for example, I find in Genesis 1, verse 27 and 28, it says, God created man in his image, male and female created he them. And he said, be blessed. He said he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion and rule.
Yes.
So I know right from Genesis 1 that God wants me blessed.
Right.
And I know that even though mankind fell, he still wants me blessed.
Yes.
In number 6, he said to the priesthood, this is how you'll invoke my name on the children of Israel. Bless them in my name.
That's right. Okay?
And they will be blessed.
That's right.
He says in Abraham, whoever blesses you will be blessed because I have blessed you. You know, it says, whoever God has blessed, no man can curse.
That's right.
All the way through Deuteronomy 28, blessing, blessing, blessing. And then in the New Testament, of course, Jesus annihilated the curse.
Yes.
And release the blessing. So we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And we have been blessed with everything that pertains to life and to God.
That's right. Ephesians 1:3 and 2 Peter 1:3.
Let's just take that one principle of blessing. If I believe in the core of my being, my soul, my mind, my images, my feelings, my, you know, everything about my soul believes that I am blessed.
Right. And to be blessed. I am blessed and to be blessed.
I believe I'm blessed and I believe the promise of God regarding blessing. There's not another option for me. I can't be cursed.
No.
Everything's going to turn into a blessing. In my book, In the Zone, I do a whole book of teaching on that. So if I believe that, what am I going to attract?
Well, if you're completely focused on blessing and goodness, you're going to attract blessing
and goodness. I attract blessing.
That's right.
My life does not attract curse. My life attracts blessing. I expect it to, you know, number one, because I believe God's promises.
Right.
But when I believe his promises, when I meditate day and night on being blessed in God and how that blessing can give him honor and glory, you know, all that. I mean, I just automatically, I'm going to attract more blessing. The more I'm blessed, the more I'm focused on the blessing, because you give him praise for the blessing.
Right.
You delight in the blessing. And then you start to carve out a realm of being blessed.
When Jesus models that to us, the giving thanks, the attitude of gratitude, that brought forth multiplication, didn't it? When he was feeding the 4,000, he was feeding the 5,000. He was even modeling this to his disciples, because at first the disciples, when he said, you feed them, he said, they're focusing on lack and they're being negative and murmuring, complaining. What do we feed them with? That's not fair. How can you expect that? We have no money. All we have is a few loaves and a few fish.
Yep.
And Jesus immediately brings that to a halt. He says, bring me what we have. Don't focus on what we don't have. Don't complain. Bring me what we do have. Yeah. And then he lifts it up to the Father and he says, thank you for this. And multiplication comes forth. So there's an example of Jesus modeling this law to us.
Yeah, I just love it. And anything that God speaks to you, if you focus on it, you will attract it.
There you go.
So like a number of months ago now, God spoke to our ministry. I was in prayer one day and I'd read the whole story about the loaves and the fishes, you know, probably hundreds of times since I've known the Lord, but it just popped out and the Lord said, I'm going to give you the blessing of replenishment, a replenishment anointing.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, as much as you give out, it will be replenished.
That's right.
So I believed it.
Yeah.
I believed it and I meditated on it. I thanked him for it. I wrote it down. I spoke it. I imagined it. I just took what he said and believed it.
That's good.
And it started manifesting. So it was even like, I remember one day, my husband and I had written a lot of checks for different things. And I thought, oh boy, empty the bank account.
Right.
What did I tell you? I thought, replenishment anointing. So I looked at the bank account and says, you will replenish because God told me I have this replenishment anointing. Sure enough, in no time at all, it's just brought right back up.
That's awesome.
Because you attract it.
That's
Now, if I was to look at it and say, oh my gosh, it's just going, we're going down the tube, the money's going, everything's going, then what am I going to attract?
Lack.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was observing different things when I was studying this whole law of attraction. And I know this couple, okay? They're an older couple now. Okay. They're in their 80s.
Okay.
They both lived the same life. They've been married for over 65 years.
Right on.
Okay? So they've lived the same life because they're a married couple. The woman in this marriage is fearful and negative.
Mm, okay.
And so her whole life, she has seen the cup half empty.
Yeah.
So her experience has been half empty.
Right.
Her experience is everything's hard, everything's bad, hard life. She's in her late 80s now, and her life has been hard.
Mm.
That's what she talks about.
Mm.
It's been so hard. Mm. I've had a hard life, and I've got this. Her conversation is negative. Her life is negative. Her husband is still alive also.
Yep.
He thinks he's had the best life that you could ever have.
Really?
I mean, his life has been amazing.
Right on.
He talks about all the good things. So I've had such a wonderful life. It's been so amazing. He's got a 10-year business plan in his 80s.
That's
going.
Awesome.
Like, he's as happy as can be. Now, how can two people in the same life attract different things? It's the law of attraction.
Exactly. Different mindsets, different things they're filling their hearts and minds with, different things that are coming out of their mouths, so different things are being attracted.
And the one is attracting favor and increase, and the other is attracting depletion and poor health. And, you know, and so I've even noticed in the area of finance, especially, because I love helping people get out of lack into abundance.
Right.
I love that. And I've noticed that Christians, most Christians who are in lack, a lot of it has to do with their thinking.
Yes, mindset.
In their belief system, I don't have enough, I don't have enough, I'm afraid I won't have enough. And you might be able to, on the top of your head, think, yes, I believe God, I have abundance, you know, he's good, okay, I'm going to believe for this miracle. But underneath the top of the skull is all this.
Scripture doesn't say from the abundance of the thoughts, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah, and it's the soul, your mind, to be filled with the truth of the mind of Christ, not just on the surface, but be anchored.
Yes.
So therefore, if you understand that, wow, I've got some fear operating instead of faith,
right.
I do have some doubt in God's promises. So if you realize that, you can work on it, saying, God, I repent for my unbelief, my fear.
That's good.
And you start meditating on the promises. That's where our decree book really comes in.
Okay,
now,
good.
On this book, God's Law of Attraction, I put the decree book in the back of it.
So the whole decree book is in there.
The whole decree book's in the back of it as well, so that you have it, because it'll renew the mind.
Okay.
So when your mind's renewed and you start thinking on the promises of God, meditating on the promises of God, your soul will come into alignment.
That's good.
When your soul comes into alignment with God's ways, God's word, God's promise, you'll start to attract everything.
That's really good.
Now,
wait just one second. I want you guys to catch this, because what Patricia just shared is so important. If you're doing a personal inventory right now and you're realizing that you've been someone who's been negative and lived from fear and doubt and frustration, tonight can be the night that completely shifts for you, that completely changes for you. All you have to do is just what she shared, is just go to the Lord with it, repent of it, and be like the father who came to Jesus and said, I believe, help me with my unbelief. And tonight, everything can shift.
Everything can shift.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and I've seen, in the area of provision, I've seen miracles of provision, because the soul gets into alignment.
Right.
When, you know, when I can help someone see that, and they start, you know, really focusing and changing, which is repentance, right?
Right.
When we turn
the way we
our
think.
Thoughts into the thoughts of God. And that's where he says, beloved, I pray that in every respect you will prosper and be in health.
That's good.
As your soul prospers. That soul prosperity has to be alignment with God. It's that journey with God.
And that's, you know, John the Baptist declared it. Jesus declared it. And then Jesus told the disciples to go forth and declare it. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change the way you think. Change the way you feel. Change the way you've been doing things. Because there's a different way available to you now. Reach out and take it.
Yeah. And one of the things I hear in lives of Christians, because I travel a lot.
Right.
Different churches and different nations and that. But there's something that is very common, I find, in the body. And
What's that?
Is a belief in, I'll call it rejection, okay?
Okay.
believing, well, I'm not loved, nobody cares about me, I don't, you know, I'm not significant, you know, I don't get the breaks, I don't get the opportunities, you know, kind of that negativity. Yeah. And I think that there's one thing that can resolve that all, and that's to believe in God's promises regarding favor. Now, God's word says
that
we are favored.
That's right.
Undeserved, unmerited favor.
And his favor surrounds us as a shield.
Psalm 5:12.
Come on.
His favor endures for a lifetime.
That's right.
His favor causes our mountain to stand. So it's like this undeserved, unmerited favor is what Jesus gave us, because in the same way that Jesus grew in favor with God and man, everything that was given to Jesus has now been given,
it's been given to us. That's right.
I mean, this is the good news of the gospel.
Such good news.
We don't deserve this, but we get it.
Yes.
Now, I've been rejected, so have you.
Yes.
And I've been favored.
Yes.
And I like favor better.
I like favor better,
right?
Too.
You know, like,
yes.
So I have a choice. Like, I could take every time I have someone reject me or something. I'm rejected.
Right.
Oh, is that terrible what they're doing or saying?
Yeah.
Or, oh, is that awful how I'm being treated?
It happened again. It always happens.
It always happens to me.
Right.
It's like that. And, you know, and then you start to think in your, your mind.
And then you expect
I don't have value.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody loves me. Everyone hates me. I'm going to the garden to eat worms. You know, like that whole mentality.
Yes.
Or you can say, to know me is to love me. I believe that God said I have favor. I believe it. And so you might be rejecting me now, but it won't be long.
That's right.
Before you favor me.
That's right.
Because if I believe in the favor of God, it will start to manifest.
That's right.
So, I mean, I totally believe that. I mean, as a ministry, we've gone through a whole, I mean, we went through years
where we were being rejected. Rejected,
and,
persecuted.
You know, yeah. And we just stood on the favor of God.
That's right.
And said, well, Lord, you know, to know us is to love us. And, you know, we'll just, we know we're favored by
That's
you.
Right.
And so we'll just live in that favor. Well, we stood on faith believing that even those who were speaking the worst things about us would one day favor us. Well, now there are
some of them are our best friends. Yeah. And one of the other keys is we sowed favor even to those who weren't favoring us. We refuse not to favor, not to love, not to speak well of those who didn't necessarily do that for us.
We
so we're sowing favor, so of course we'll reap favor.
Yeah, we just believe the principle.
That's right.
We believe the word. And so we started attracting favor. Even in that time, that whole season when we were being disfavored on a global level.
That's right.
At the exact same time that was going on, we were increasing in favor, increasing in partnership, finances, open doors for
That's
ministry.
Right.
It was like fun to watch.
It was.
And it was because we were focusing on what God said, not upon outward circumstances.
And you know, there's always good news, Patricia, and that's a great example. Is we could have focused on what didn't seem to be going well, but we were able to focus on the good things God was bringing. You know, I often think about when Jesus said to the disciples, here's what's going to happen. We're going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be tried. I'm going to be found guilty, and I'm going to be executed. And then 3 days later, I will rise from the dead. And Peter says, oh, may none of these things happen to you, Lord, because he's focusing on the first few things that are negative as opposed to the glorious report of what God is going to do. So if you've been going through a difficult time, if you haven't had favor, if you haven't had finances, don't let the enemy trap you into focusing on those things. You focus on the good news. You focus on the report of the Lord. You focus on what he's about to do for you according to his word. And you let that fill your mind, your heart, and your imagination. You let that fill your words, and you watch him turn everything around for you.
It's so much fun.
It is.
Watching God move. And also the other thing is, he's a father.
He is.
And he trains us,
He's a good father.
So he wants us to understand his ways. And his ways are past finding out. But as a father, he'll say, do you want to know a secret? Do you want to know my ways? Because I'll show you how to work it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I remember when Ron and I were raising our boys and, you know, you teach them a new thing because you realize, okay, well, you know, we're going to take you from the tricycle to the two-wheel.
Right, right.
Okay, so we'll show you how to do it, right? And it's so much fun as a parent to show your children how to operate in something new, right?
Yeah.
And so God, he wants to show us because he's given us our life.
That's right.
He's given us free will. So we can go his way or not his way. But when he reveals his way and we use it to bring glory to him, it gives him glory when we're living in fullness.
It does.
It gives him glory when we're living in the light, you know. And so we want to, you know, we want to just sit with him. It says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God.
Yes.
The things he reveals, they belong to us.
Right, right. Every day is bring your kid to work day in the kingdom. Every day the father wants to bring his kids to work, show them how it works, show them how to do it. It's why he's given us the mind of Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we can get past how we've done things in the past before him, and we can learn from him how his kingdom works right here on earth.
And when you understand his law of attraction.
Yes.
And you start intentionally working it in your life, you basically can change your whole life.
That's awesome.
You can change your whole life and make it fruitful and multiplying as God intended it to be. He gives you the keys in Scripture on how to live in that realm. I feel such a commitment to the body of Christ to live in the blessing of God, because the book In the Zone, Create Your World, and now God's Law of Attraction. Those three books are loaded with consistent word on how to live in the blessing of God. God intends us to, especially in the world that we're living in right now. And, you know, even corporately, and maybe we'll talk about that in a few moments, about how we can, you know, change the whole world that we're living in. If we can get a corporate agreement on God's word, it can actually shift even the world that we live in.
One of the things I love about what you've done in these last three books, and especially God's Law of Attraction, is you're willing to talk about the soul realm. And a lot of Christianity, a lot of the church sort of ignores and is uncomfortable with the soul realm. And yet, all through Scripture, we see God dealing with it. I think about in Joshua 1, when God is commissioning Joshua and telling him, you're going to be a great leader of the people, and this is what you're going to bring them into. One of the first things he does is he says, but son, you're going to need to get your soul under control.
Yep.
And what he actually says is, do not fear and don't be discouraged. But he's basically saying,
he said, meditate on the word day and
meditate on the word day and night. And don't give in to fear. And don't give in to discouragement. And you're right. That's the soul realm.
Meditation is the soul.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to be teaching an entire day course on this to give application for people, helping them apply this in their life. So that'll be in January, and they can go online.
What day in January? Do you remember?
No, I can't remember. But we're doing a whole week.
Right.
Like a mini internship.
That's right.
It's like a boot camp. It'll be an intensive.
And that's January 24th through 31st.
Yeah, and so it'll be on the 30th, I think.
I think it's the Saturday the 30th.
God's Law of Attraction. Yeah. So this is how we're going to do it. I'm doing one whole week of internship. It's kind of morning, afternoon, and night, a real boot camp. And we're going to help you get closer to God and walk with him, and especially if you want to be used in ministry in that. So we're going to be giving lots of nurture. We're going to be taking, you know, only 25 people into that whole internship and bringing you over to, you know, our house for lunch and have some good interaction times, personal times. But at the end of that week, we're going to be teaching 2 days.
Yeah.
On new levels of intercession, because of the day that we're living in now, with terrorism, with cyber attacks, with stuff that's going on in space, God wants you to know how to go into the realm of the Spirit and bring those things into alignment.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to be doing a web event on those as well, so you can register for that. But we will be having hands-on here in the studio for that. And then on the last day, we're going to be doing God's Law of Attraction.
Yes.
So if you can't make it to the whole internship or it fills up and you can't get in, you can get into the prayer teaching for 2 days or God's Law of Attraction.
Right.
So if you go on events, go to patriciaking.com, go on events, and you can find out more information about but that will help you tremendously. And, of course, the book itself.
Exactly.
Tons of good application in it. But let's, I know that some questions have already come in.
We've had some questions.
And let's see what has come in.
All right, let's
dig
into some of these, Patricia.
And if you have more questions, just go in the chat room and give them, and maybe someone from inside the room there, you're in there, you can bring them out to us or whatever.
All right, Patricia, here's one of the first ones. It seems like I've had one thing after another go wrong in my life. Jobs, relationships, finances, health. I believe what you're saying, but with so many disappointments and failures filling my thoughts, how do I get my mind off of them and onto promises of God that I haven't seen for myself?
Yeah, I think many people deal with that, you know. And the problem with having numerous problems in your life mm-hmm. is you become problem-focused.
Right.
It's natural.
Of course.
It's easy to just look at it and get overwhelmed and it fills your thoughts. I mean, that's the natural
yes,
thing.
Yeah.
And all of us, you know, all of us deal. So therefore, it takes intentionality.
Okay.
It actually takes intentionality to break that pattern
okay.
of thinking. You actually have to fight it.
Okay.
You have to fight the negativity
because
of it.
Because the natural inclination will be to allow those things to fill your thoughts.
I deal with it too.
Sure, like, of course, we all
do.
You
know, like when like some bad news comes,
mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, and I wish I didn't have to confess this, but oftentimes, and I'm getting better at it, but
right.
oftentimes my initial response is, oh no, mm-hmm. this is horrible, right?
Right, right.
Other than, wow, what an opportunity
yes.
for God to show
right.
faithful, right.
right? That's right.
So, but when you catch yourself in the sense of being overwhelmed,
yes.
then you can say, no, just a minute, when my heart is overwhelmed, because that's what the psalmist said.
Right.
When your heart is overwhelmed, go to the rock.
Right.
It's higher than you. So with intentionality, you have to say, no, I am not going to let my soul be overwhelmed with what's happening. I'm going to go to the Word right now. I'm going to go to the Lord.
That's good.
I'm going to get His assurance, and I'm going to intentionally stay on that. Now, I'll just give you an example. My husband
okay.
and I are fighting a battle because
right.
he has been diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Right.
So the fact is the fact. I remember the day we got the diagnosis, I was like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
are you kidding?
Right.
This cannot be.
Right.
You know, I was overwhelmed, but I had to find my footing
yes.
and say, just a minute. God's word says,
that's right.
by the stripes of Jesus, He is healed. God's word says that.
That's right.
And I have a choice to believe the symptoms, to believe this attack, to let my soul be filled
mm-hmm.
with it, or to stand on that word. So the fact, which is temporal
right.
and subject to change,
that's right.
is that he's got some struggles.
Right.
The truth is that by the stripes of Jesus, he is healed.
Amen. That's right.
So if I focus on this, if I focus on the fact, I'm going to empower the fact.
Right.
And it's not going to help.
Right.
So what I decided to do is I'm going to take care of the facts.
Yes.
Whatever you have to do in the natural,
right.
you just take
right.
care of it. But my soul is fixed on meditating on the truth.
The eternal truth.
So that's where I live. I think, oh, yes, Lord. You know, I'm dreaming of the day when the manifestation is going to be full blown, when
yeah.
Ron's out giving the testimony, when you know, his brain is not fogged, when, you know, when his shuffle is gone,
right.
when his shaking is gone, when everything is perfect. I just see it, you know. I'm going to focus on that because it renews your hope. It renews
yeah.
your faith. And then we see manifestations of it. It comes
right.
and goes right,
right
now.
Right.
But we do see manifestations of that. So that's where I have to live.
Yeah.
And if a disappointment comes, I have to bring myself right back
that's
into
right.
it. Because that's where I have to live.
That's right.
Okay?
Always
now,
focusing on the eternal
I am going to stay on the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's what God said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to disappoint God by saying, oh, well, your word doesn't work. And
right.
look at this. The symptoms are increasing. It looks like it's getting worse. So this, that, and the other. That's not a good place to live.
No.
I'm going to live in that truth. And as I wait for the manifestation, I'm going to remain a happy camper.
Right.
And any problem we face in life has a solution.
That's right.
So the scripture says, fight the good fight of faith. So it doesn't mean there's an absence of things to fight.
No, uh-uh.
But it tells us what the weapon is of our warfare.
That's right.
And that is faith. And that is staying on God's word, staying on what he says to do, and you'll start to attract it.
Yes.
Now, you might not even at times get the full measure of what you're believing for yet. You'll get partial
right.
things so that you can praise.
But celebrate
the Lord
those.
For that, but
absolutely.
You'll start to attract it.
Absolutely.
I guarantee you. You will start to attract what you're believing
now,
for.
Now, you used a couple words that I think are key. You said, we dream about when he's healthy and strong. I let God give me vision for that. I see it. And those are important things. And I know that one of the things that you believe in and you talk in the book is creating vision boards for people. Because even God said to Abraham, lift up your eyes and see. Fill your imagination. Yep. Fill your mind's eye. Fill your heart with the reality of what I'm saying, what I'm showing you. So
God,
you
gave,
share,
God gave Abraham...
The heavens is a vision board.
Such a big vision board that every night when Abraham looked up in the stars of the sky, he remembered the word that God gave him. And by day, the sands.
Right. That's right.
The grains of sand. And so he had vision board before him. And it does help to
share with the people a little bit about what a vision board is in case they don't know, because it's a really great tool to help fill their minds and imaginations with the promises of God.
Part of intentionality is like setting your goal out in front of you, declaring what you believe in God.
Right.
So, for example, favor. Let's say that you are going to believe for a breakthrough in the area of favor. So that rejection is no longer going to be in your mindset. Favor is what you're going to be in. So you could make a vision board, like by writing on a big sheet of paper, favor,
right.
Put scriptures on it, pictures of people being favored, maybe open doors.
Yes.
You know, all kinds of things, what favor means to you.
Right.
Put it on a vision board. Now, I've got a vision board on favor, actually, and I put it on my, like, I take pictures of my phone, of my vision board, so that I can renew my.
And I've seen your vision board. It's a three-ring binder filled with page after page after page of things that you can sit and focus on that will fill you with faith, because
and
you're
it
filling.
Stays in the mind.
Exactly.
That's what I love about vision boards. It stays in the mind. And it's fun to create it with God. Because as you're creating your board, it's like, wow, Lord, what do you say about this? Oh, look at that picture. That says it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you're in relationship with him as you're doing it. And it makes your life so happy. We have to really be careful not to be negative, especially now.
Right.
Look what's just happened
so
recently.
So much, if we focus on it,
we're
we
on
be
terror?
So filled with fear and terror and
I mean, you know, if we're not careful, we won't do anything. We won't even go grocery shopping.
No, that's right.
The grocery store could blow
up,
you know? And so, you know, I want to attract, you know, a really good life.
Yes.
I don't want to live in the negativity of it.
Okay, here's another question. So if I have negative things in my life, is it because I'm a negative person? Where does the devil fit into this? Jesus said that the thief is the one who comes to steal, kill, rob, and destroy. Isn't it the devil doing all of this?
The devil comes to tempt, and he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is true.
Okay.
But Jesus said, when the prince of this world comes, he has nothing in
me. That's good.
He had no landing
strip. That's right.
So the devil can try, but ultimately he can't win.
Yeah.
Right? So if I have a negative life, is it because I'm negative? I would say, and I mean, this might sound hard, but I might say probably.
Right. Right.
Because you're giving the devil a landing strip.
Right. You're giving into the lure and temptation of the devil to see the worst in everything. And that doesn't mean that there aren't difficult things in your life. It just means you have a choice of what are you going to focus on in the midst
of difficult
things.
Exactly. So if something negative comes, maybe you didn't source it. In other words, maybe you weren't thinking negative about that thing. But if it came, you have a choice of whether you're going to lock into the negativity of it or change it.
Right.
Because the Bible also says, I came that you would have life and have it abundantly.
That's right. That's right.
It also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that God always causes us to triumph in Christ.
Yes.
So you know what I mean?
Yes.
So we have to determine where are we going to live.
Yes. Okay. All right. Okay. I read the word, pray, make decrees, worship, but bad things still happen to me. Why isn't God's law of attraction working for me?
I would ask myself if I was that person, I would ask myself, how much do I really believe? There's some more questions coming in there.
Okay, great.
How much do I really believe? That's what I would ask, because we can say things, but it's just kind of by rote. But is there real conviction in what we're saying, in what we're believing? Now, I love the decree book.
Right.
Is there decrees God gave me? And many people have been blessed by it. But what I would do with those decrees is take it before the Lord and say, Lord, in this situation, I want to really believe this word. Would you help me believe it? Like, get it directly from him so it fills your soul. Because otherwise, it's just going through motion. But does the soul really believe?
Okay.
You know?
Okay. All right, here's some that have come in just online right now. How does grace factor in, Patricia? I hear preachers say your performance has nothing to do with the blessing of God on your life, and then others say your performance does play a part in the blessing, which is correct.
Well, I don't think grace means there's lack of performance. I think grace empowers performance.
Yeah, okay.
Grace is like not only God's favor on your life, but it is his divine influence upon your heart.
To empower us to do these things.
To empower us.
To focus on the positive when everything's negative.
So I live under grace.
Right.
Like
we're big lovers of grace.
Big lovers of grace.
Yeah. Big needers of grace.
The grace of God teaches me to live godly.
Right. And empowers us to live godly.
The grace of God empowers me to make right decisions.
That's right.
The grace of God reveals truth.
Right.
And when the truth is revealed, it's like, yes, okay, let's go for it, right? So when there's striving, like if you're striving inside of yourself, then I would ask for grace to get you out of the striving.
Right.
Because like if you're saying, okay, I got a decree, that's not. That's a works mentality. And it's also based in fear.
Right, exactly.
Right? So fear doesn't attract God.
Right.
The thing about the law of attraction, it is like a core belief, core meditation of what you believe is good, right?
So the difference between I have to decree to get something versus I know I have it, so I'm going to focus on it. I'm going to decree this thing, and it's going to come forth.
Well, let's examine that for a moment.
Okay.
Like, if I said, oh, okay, I want to not be rejected anymore. I want to have favor, so I better make sure that I'm decreeing, and I better make sure I only think about favor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness, I better make sure I'm not thinking about rejection.
Right.
Oh, no, rejection is coming. I better, you know, what's behind that? I mean, I'm exaggerating.
No, you're right.
But it's fear.
Yeah.
Now, fear is opposite of
faith.
Right? So therefore, out of rest, because grace is always at rest.
Always at rest.
Always in rest. Yeah. Oh, wow, I get to.
Right.
I get to believe the truth about what God says. I am favored. So there's this rejection coming against me right now. But God's word says I'm favored. So I'm going to choose favor. And I can hardly wait to see that rejection go.
That's good.
You see the difference?
Very much so. That's
grace,
a great way to show it to the people.
Grace is out of rest.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I have been desperately waiting for a miracle for months because God said he would do it. Can I operate in this law to facilitate the miracle I need?
Oh, absolutely. It'll attract the miracle, you know, when you meditate on the miracle. And, it's because you're becoming one with God's word on it. You're becoming one with his will. I want to go back to the question about grace.
Okay.
Though.
All right.
A lot of times people think grace means that we just sit back and let God's sovereignty accomplish everything for us. I want to talk about that for a moment because God's sovereignty, God is sovereign. I mean, he is God, you know, like
that's right.
He can do anything. He is everything. He is amazing. But he has given us free will. So in his sovereignty, he chose to give us free will, if that makes sense.
Yes.
In his sovereignty, he chose to give us free will.
Right.
So God can sovereignly do anything at any time.
That's right.
For us. I mean, I could even say, well, I'm not going to walk unless God does it for me.
And he could. He could pick you up and float you to every single meeting.
He could make my legs move, everything. But it's like our partnership with God is he reveals things to us so that we can respond.
That's right.
Right? So that we can do it. Faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So he expects a response for so he gives us the ability to do it. He gives us invitation. He gives us promise. That's what he does is in his sovereignty.
Right.
He's chosen it that way.
Right.
But then he's given us a free will so we can partner with him.
Yes.
We can respond to him.
Yes.
And that's what grace empowers us to be able to do that.
That's right.
Okay,
God
so
is sovereign. He can reach out to anyone, anywhere, anytime. But he's also put these kingdom laws in place so that we can reach out to him.
Exactly.
So that we can put them to work in our lives.
But grace is always, I get to do this.
Yes.
I'm empowered to do this. Oh, this is so fun. I get to fulfill God's word. That's what grace has that dimension to it.
Okay. All right, here's another one. You say that the soul is our mind, will, and emotions. I understand how to focus my thoughts and even how to take control of my words. But how can I focus my emotions? My feelings are what I feel. How can I control them?
Yeah, your feelings usually follow your thoughts.
Okay.
So when you have, let's say, an emotion of fear.
Yeah.
You have to ask yourself, what am I thinking? Or what is happening around me that is triggering that feeling?
Okay.
Because somewhere there will be a thought that is triggering the feeling. So what is that thought?
Okay.
If you change the thought, you will change the feeling.
Ah, okay, good.
So, for example, let's say you walk into a room. Or let's say that you walk into a situation where, let's say a job interview.
Okay.
Okay, and you really want that job, but you walk in there and all of a sudden you've got this gut fear going, oh, you're thinking, I feel sick in my gut, I feel sick. What is the thought that you are thinking? Your thoughts are probably thinking, oh, no, what if I fail?
Right.
This exam, what if I fail the interview,
right? If I say the wrong thing, what if they don't like me?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you can find the thought and change the thought and say, no, I'm favored of God, I am comfortable in the Lord, I'm at peace in him, and start meditating on those things, you will change your feeling.
Okay. All right.
It'll change your feeling. And so your feelings usually follow your thoughts. And I think that we have more control over our feelings than what we believe. Your feelings can be trigger points for you or revealing points for you.
Okay.
But then once it's revealed, then you can see what you can do about it.
Okay. Excellent.
Before I became saved, I used to be controlled by feelings.
Mm.
But then the Lord started teaching me. After I became saved, the Lord showed me how to direct my feelings, put them in submission to his truth, and it changed everything.
That's good. Okay. All right. All right. Here's someone asking, how would you recommend getting things back that were lost or stolen? How would God's law of attraction work for someone who has had something in the natural or even in the spirit stolen from them?
I think that you have to, first of all, go to God and pray into it and say, God, what is your promise to me on this? What is your take on this? What do you say about it? Mm-hmm. Whatever he says, that's what you want to lock in on.
Okay.
You know, because you prosper as your soul prospers, but your soul has to be in that alignment with him.
Yeah.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by that rhema word, that quickened, fresh word from God. So I would go to him and ask him specifically, what is your word on this?
Excellent. All right. Okay, when it comes to healthy relationships, I see how we can let go of negative or destructive friendships and attract healthier, more positive ones. But what about family and spouses? We can't simply cut them loose, can we? So what do you do when you realize you're in toxic relationship, but it's with a spouse or family, and that's filling the atmosphere with negativity? You can't just cut them loose. How do you deal with that?
I believe that light always overpowers darkness.
Okay.
Now, there's some times when God might lead you to distance yourself in relationship with someone for a number of different reasons, and he would make that clear to you. But if you're living with a spouse, let's say, who is really negative, and I'll use the example of the couple I shared with earlier.
Right.
The man in that relationship did not let the negativity of the wife change his life into the same negativity.
That's good.
He chose to create his realm of blessing in his life.
Okay.
So I think that we have to have command over our own soul.
Okay.
We live in a negative world.
Right.
We can live around negative people, but we would have to, with intentionality then, put our realm, create our realm.
Yes.
And then create your world. We teach on this.
Right.
You create your realm, your atmosphere that you're going to live in.
Okay.
And you can change someone else's.
Okay.
I sometimes like the challenge
right.
of sitting down with someone who's really negative and they're giving you negative after negative after negative. And then you insert into them. But there's this.
That's right.
There's that.
That's right.
And it can become kind of a fun game
yeah.
to see if you can win them over
right.
into thinking positive. To thinking the truth about
that's a situation. Right.
Turn them to God.
We're made in God's image.
Repentance.
We're made to speak light into darkness.
Yeah, and yeah. so in that situation, you know, I mean, always we have to walk with God. So what
right.
is God saying about that relationship? How much time do you need to spend with them? And if you are there, get prayed up and
right.
and keep your positive and put some perimeters, like don't speak negative about others with them.
That's
don't
right.
get into critical
right.
talk. You know, raise the bar.
Yeah.
And see if they'll come into the light that you are carrying, because light dispels darkness.
Okay, so for Thanksgiving's coming up, and for some people, getting together with family, especially unsaved family, it can be challenging. But listen to what we just shared, what Patricia just shared. It's actually an opportunity to have fun, speak light into darkness, and see atmospheres shift and become positive. I like that. I
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Patricia, there's several other questions here, but many of them have a similar theme. They're believing for things, they're decreeing things, whether it's one person's talking about a healing for a father, others talking about job, finances, but it hasn't happened for them yet, and they want to know, how do you stave off disappointment? How do you deal with disappointment so it doesn't overwhelm you when day in, day out, scripture says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick.
Yeah.
So how do we deal with hope deferred while trying to apply God's law of attraction?
Right. One of the things I believe is praise. There's a song that, you know, it's an oldie but a goodie. It says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. And I think it's really helpful to just stay focused on all the blessings that God has given you. Number one, that creates an environment of faith when you focus on the blessings that God has already given you. When disappointment does come,
okay.
you have to be very careful not to let it control you.
Okay.
Because if it does, it just doesn't help.
Right.
It doesn't help. Everyone suffers disappointment.
That's right.
But a lot of times what people do is when they're disappointed about something or they're believing for something and it didn't happen,
yeah.
it's like they give up hope.
Right.
And if you give up hope, if you lose your hope, which is a foundation even for your faith,
yes.
then you lose everything. And is that helpful? You know, so it's like, no, you just put your disappointment on the altar
yeah.
and say, God, I'm going to make this my gift to you.
Yeah.
You know, there's pain in this offering.
That's right.
I'm going to give you this gift, but I am not going to stop believing
yeah.
in your word. I'm going to align my soul with your word
yeah.
and just see what happens. And one day we'll have the answers to all,
that's right.
all the things that have disappointed. But I mean, if something is at the end and there's no more hope for it, you put it on the altar and say,
yeah.
God, I give this to you with all my tears, with everything. I give it to you as my greatest
right.
gift.
Yes.
But I rise up and I'm going to believe for the good things. Usually, if there's a disappointment in your life, things gone wrong, there's also many other good
That's
things
right.
around you.
That's right.
But if you're not careful, that one disappointment will take over your life and you will forget all the good things. So praise God for all the blessings, all
That's
the good,
good
things that have taken place, and carve out that realm of attraction.
Yeah.
Again, you know, if you get into this, oh, I've been believing, but
right.
nothing's happening. I have always believed, but nothing's happening. You see what you're doing
mm-hmm.
there?
Mm-hmm.
You are actually going to attract more of the same.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
will.
Exactly.
You know, and so there has to be an intentionality with it.
You know, as you know, I've gone through about a decade worth of health challenges and have been contending for the full manifestation of healing. And I understand this question because I know there were times in my journey where I got discouraged and fearful. And I remember once crying out to God and saying, Lord, your word says hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. And he spoke to my heart something very interesting. He said, well, your hope will never be deferred if it's in me.
And to always come back to, because I realized what had happened is I'd gotten my hope in a doctor or a treatment or a clinic and thinking he led me there, but I got my focus off of the one my hope was in and the thing that I had placed my hope upon. And so I really think it's important, you know, something I learned from you years ago was at the, whenever we're going through a hard time, one of the first things we should do is just say, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and start every day that way. And I can personally attest that without realizing that was God's law of attraction, that that would shift me out of fear and doubt and get me back into the place of hope and expectation where I could decree God's word with faith again. And now I'm actually seeing manifestations of healing after a decade-long battle.
Oh my God. Gosh, and you've seen so much over all the years. You've been in a battle.
Mm-hmm.
You've also seen the breakthroughs.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like because you did not give in. I mean, there's many times when you could have given into discouragement, but when your heart was overwhelmed, you went back to the rock and you started praising God and just staying in that place. And I think that if you are going through a difficult time and discouragement sets in, if you can remember, I'm not going to give in to the fear behind it, the stress behind it, the resolve inside my mind to believe that it's bad. I'm going to push away all that and just rest in the goodness of God and know that I'm going to come through.
Yeah.
You know, it's like eventually you will attract, it'll start attracting to you that goodness. Now, here's an example.
Okay.
In our book, Step Into Supernatural Provision, Ron and I share the whole journey that we walked through for the 5 years of when God called us into full-time living by faith with no visible means of support.
Right.
The first 5 years of that were like, wow, one test after another.
Yes.
We were standing on the word. We didn't come off that word, but everything was contrary to what we were believing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were believing for our daily bread.
The report of your circumstances was different from the report of the word.
Believing for daily bread, and there wasn't a slice of bread in the house, you know? And it was like, where is the manifestation of this?
Right.
And there was lots of opportunity to get into anxiety. And I'll tell you, there were days when I screamed out at God. I said, why? You know, I cried. I had those days. But the Lord would always lead me back, repent.
Yes, that's it.
And focus on my goodness and praise me. I'm good. My promises are yes and amen, all of that. And it's like after 5 years, and it was like almost a daily grind, I was driving down the road one day and I actually felt the shift in the spirit.
Right on.
I felt it and I knew it. But what happened is that there was a tipping point there. And from that point on, there was just an attraction of abundance to this very
That's
day.
Right. That's right.
I mean, we're just so blessed. An attraction of abundance from that point on. And so sometimes you'll go through a season of battling. And if you can remain in the rest, in the grace of God, and stay focused on His truth, keep your soul aligned with the promise of God, you will attract it. You will. And when it comes, it's actually a realm then.
That's right.
It has your name on
That's
it.
That's right.
That you don't have to fight those battles
no,
again.
You just live in that realm.
You know, and you just have to remind yourself, no, this is unto good.
Yeah.
But our time's up now, Robert, and we just wanted to have some prayer time with you all. And this has been an awesome time of interaction. And we just want you to experience the fullness of all that God has for you in this way.
Amen.
You know, He wants you to live in such a way that blessings will come upon you and overtake you.
Yes.
He wants your life to be prosperous, to overflow, to flourish, to be in abundance in every respect of your life. This is the word of God. This is His will for you. It's not His will for you to suffer and fight these things and have to deal with these things all the time. There are seasons and times when we are in battles, yes. But when your heart is fixed, when your heart is settled, that God is good all the time, that He works everything together for good, I guarantee you that you will start to attract the victories. You will attract what will give you that overcoming power and the manifestations of His goodness. It's what He wants for you. And right now, it's especially important for the church to believe in who we are as kingdom people. You know,
that's this, right.
I can't help but say this before we go off.
Yeah, this is important.
This is really important. We're living in under terrorist attacks. Mm-hmm. This war on terrorism, you know,
wow, you can feel this.
I have to say this. Prophetically, I need to be responsible for this. The thing about the war, terrorism is that we don't really see the army.
Right.
It's an invisible army.
Right.
A member of this army could be living on your street. You could be going into your grocery store and the bombs go off.
That's right.
We don't know where these assaults are going to come, when they're going to come, how they're going to come. It could be, you know, germ warfare through the mail coming into your house. It could be anything, right? So we're living in a day where the enemy's tactic is to put everyone in all the nations in fear.
In fear.
To paralyze
That's
them.
Right.
So they won't fly anymore. They won't invest anymore. They, you know, they're just going to be in fear. That's his purpose. But if we, the church, know who we are, knowing I'm fearless.
That's right.
I'm not going to hold back.
That's right.
I'm living a full life. I'm not going to hold back on anything because God is my God.
That's right.
And he is ruling the universe and I am in him. And I'm not going to live my life defensive in a corner trying to beat off the big bad wolf. I'm going to go offensively into the darkness
with
light.
That's right.
Believing that light will penetrate that darkness. And if I live like with that mentality in my soul, I can give hope to the world
That's
around
right.
me.
That's
but
right.
if the church lives in fear too.
Which is the point of terrorism.
We pull
terrorism
back
wants us in terror so
exactly.
that we generate fear.
And in our mind and in our hearts, oh, we're afraid and we better not do this. We better not do that. We better not go here. We better not go there. I mean, we just went on a tour to Israel.
Right.
And we had some people who were going to cancel because they were afraid of the tensions
right.
over there. We went right into Jerusalem. I mean, there was tensions all around. There was no fear, though. We had perfect peace.
Yeah.
We weren't, you know, upset by it. I thought, even if, I mean, if I were to go there and die, what a great place to die anyways, you know. But I'm not gonna hold back on what God is telling me to do if I am living for him.
That's right.
My soul needs to be strong.
That's right.
And the world needs us to believe.
Yes.
The world needs us to believe because if there's enough of us that are believing the truth about what God's saying, we will attract for a whole region.
That's right.
The goodness of
That's
God.
That's right.
But if the whole world starts getting into fear, what are we going to attract?
Fear.
We'll attract
That's right.
terror.
That's right.
We'll attract terrorists. We'll attract bombings. We'll attract,
That's right.
you know, this is critical.
That's the point of terrorism, is to put us in terror, put us in fear. So that's what we're releasing in the spirit. You know, we're aware of biological warfare. We're aware of chemical warfare. We're aware of traditional warfare. But we have to be aware of spiritual warfare in this hour. And one of the most important things we can do is maintain an expectation of the goodness of God everywhere we go.
And we are commissioned to preach what kind of news?
Good news.
Good news.
That's right.
Exactly. Not fearful news.
That's right.
You know, not terrorizing news. We're called to preach the good news because God wants us to prosper. If we prosper in our soul, the whole nation can prosper.
That's right.
You know, we have to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. This is the hour for the church to rise
Come
up,
on.
To align ourselves with God and to see this life is flourishing, this fearless life in this day, living in the blessing, the goodness of God, advancing the kingdom. It is a glorious time
yes,
to
it
be
is.
Alive.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, we want to encourage you, get the book. If you don't have my book yet, get it. And also order In the Zone. Create Your World and this book, the three of them together, I tell you, by the time you finish reading all three, I'm sure that you will be renewed in your mind.
Yes.
And also, like I said, we've got the decree book in the back here, or you can, you know, download, mm-hmm. you know, the decree book separately if you want, or the decree CDs. But this is a time for you to renew your mind. We also want to let you know about Women on the Front Lines. It's a just a mandate that God has given me and women of influence coming up. It's our certificate course. It's 12 sessions in 2 days. It's quite the boot camp. It's going to be amazing. But there's still a little bit of room left, I think, for people to sign up for that on site. We're not going to be webcasting that one, but if you can make it in person, that's coming up very soon in the next week or so. We have that for you, and all kinds of different events. And also wanted to share with you about Shiloh Church. Mm. It's our online church for you. We do have a local congregation and also a web church for our online congregation where you can actually be pastored. Go on xpshiloh.com and find out more about that. We broadcast live every Sunday morning, but we have every service archived as well so that you can be built up in your heart. This is a time when we need to stand strong, a day and an hour when we need to stand strong. There is darkness that is covering the earth, gross darkness of people, but we are called to be light in the midst Come of on. This, living in the blessing and the goodness of God, sharing the good news and seeing that good news impact the nations. And so we just want to encourage you to go online, find out how you can be more connected to us. And could we invite you at this time also to just sow into this broadcast tonight? We bring these to you. We put our faith out for you to enjoy these broadcasts, but they do cost money. In fact, a lot of money actually to put these out. So your gifts help us a lot. So if you could donate into this broadcast tonight, we would really love that. There's a donate button on your screen. If you could go there and give a generous donation and help us to continue to create media, to get the word out, to fortify people's hearts and their faith in this hour, that would be greatly appreciated. And I know a number of you are already our ministry partners, but maybe some of you aren't. And if you could pray about becoming a monthly partner with us, because there's so much that we can do to reach the world. And as the partnership grows, we can do more to reach the world around us, especially through media. So thank you so much for your generosity, for giving as unto the Lord, for being responsible with what God is giving you as far as blessing you and being a part of that so that you can help others be blessed as well. We thank you for being with us tonight. It's been an awesome time, and we'll see you next time. We do these events every single month, so it'll be wonderful to have you with us then.